First of all, my good people, I will continue hearing confessions after the sermon. I strongly encourage everyone to take home a personal copy of the bulletin and to read this one in particular very carefully and to study it and to pray on it, because it is of very much importance. And if it hurts, or if it seems to be aimed at an individual, then so be it. It's not actually, it's aimed at everyone, ourselves included. But sometimes we need someone to hit us over the head and say, hey, that's me. There will be catechism class after Mass this morning. We are slightly changing the way we are going to handle class now. The younger children, ages 6 through 12 only, will from henceforth after Sunday Mass please meet in the vestibule right after Mass, Father Joseph. And Father Joseph will teach the younger children the things that are more applicable to their age group. And then the older children, age 13 and up, can meet with me outside for the time being, as the weather permits, and we will have a more or less informal class outside and talk about things more suited to the older age group of children. Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week are Rogation days, and starting at 5:30 in the morning before the 6 o'clock Mass, we will have a procession and the Litany of the Saints. So any of you who come to the 6 o'clock Mass, I suggest you either come early or shortly before 6, because we will be mostly likely on the driveway in procession. And I ask you to be careful and not run over us, please. You may join us, but don't run over us. Also, this Friday, our novena to the Holy Spirit begins. And we ask you to join us from your homes in preparation for Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Beloved, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. I'm going to start this sermon in a slightly unorthodox manner by reading a joke. It's from an old Catholic humor book that they used to pass out in some Catholic hospitals. And this particular bit of humor, if you look at it from one point of view, yes, it can be humorous. But I take it a different way. And it, to me, is very important, and it hits very strongly at all of us. Maybe not to the degree that it brings out here, but I will explain it in a moment. And I'm going to read it strictly as it is here, so please bear with me. Sam was walking down the street with a Bible under his arm when he met his pal, Bill. "Where are you going?" asked Bill. "Well," replied Sam, "I've been hearing so much about Toronto, pretty girls, strip shows, horse races, and so on. I'm going up there to try it out." "But what's the idea of the Bible?" asked Bill. "If it's as good as they say it is," said Sam, "I might stay over Sunday." My good people, Can we not say the same about ourselves in a manner of speaking? Not that we go looking for strip shows and so forth, but if we examine our lives very closely, how many of us are guilty of coming to Mass on Sunday or every day of the week and then subconsciously thinking that that will tide us over for the next 24 hours or the next 7 days, and that our faith is secure and that our salvation is secure, and we more or less forget about God and spiritual life for the rest of the day or the rest of the week? We might think of God once in a while and say, I love you, Lord. But pretty much we live life as we've always lived it, more or less self-centered, more or less worried about how it affects me. My good people, you don't need me to tell you the seriousness of the times we live in. We cannot, we must not, take our faith for granted. We must not think that just because we go to Mass on a regular basis and receive the sacraments, that our faith is secure. We must not think that just because we say, I love you once in a while, I believe in you once in a while, that our faith is secure. We must ask ourselves whether our faith is based on a sincere interior conviction of God, or is it based on more or less the externals, the ceremonies, the Mass, the rosary, devotions, medals, the scapular. Now please don't take me wrong, I'm not belittling any of these, but how many of us think that because we wear medals, the scapular, carry a rosary in our pocket, and so forth, that we're saved? All we have to do is look around at our neighbors, at ourselves, at our family members, and look at how many, one by one, and sometimes in whole groups, who we would have sworn were the most devout of Catholics, and yet all of a sudden, they're gone. Why? Was it because their faith was not as strong as it should have been? And do we make the mistake of standing there and saying, well, that's their problem, I'm not going that way. It's okay to think that you don't want to go that way. But my good people, it takes more than this wishing. We have to live from moment to moment, completely and entirely focused on God. Now that does not mean that we have to be thinking continually of God. That is impossible. It's not human. It's not humanly possible. But our whole lives should be lived in such a way that they are centered around God. That everything we do, whether it's getting up in the morning, or eating breakfast, or relaxing, or working, or suffering, that it all ultimately is for the good and glory of God. We must constantly go after self, biting our tongue, swallowing our temper, controlling our lust, guarding our eyes, censoring our thoughts, and so forth. Our faith must be an inner conviction. I've used this simile in the past. I'm going to use it again, because not all of you may have heard it. And those who have heard it, it's worth reminding ourselves of it. Because sometimes we have a tendency, especially today, to see everybody falling away, even ourselves, getting weaker. And we look up and say, God, where are you? Don't you love us? What's happening? Why are you waiting so long? Why are you letting everyone go? Well, first of all, as I was reminded the other day, we all need reminding, our Lord Himself was in a similar situation, was He not? All His friends and devoted ones left Him, except for one or two. Some doubted Him, some denied Him, some betrayed Him. He was all alone. He Himself, in certain words, so many words, said, "My God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And yet, He never lost sight of the picture. Now, the simile I'm going to use is this. Our life is like a tapestry. We're on the bottom, where all the knots are. God is on top, where the pattern is, where the picture is being formed. And He pokes the needle down where He sees that it needs to be. And we're supposed to poke it back up and together make the picture of life that God has in mind for us. But how many times do we fall asleep, become distracted, become discouraged, and we're not paying attention? So the needle comes down and pokes us in the rump or something, and we get mad and jab it back up there any which way, and we become frustrated. Why did you poke me, God? What did I do? All I see down here is knots. What's going on? But that is where our true faith comes in, our true trust. We must poke that needle back up every time someone crosses us, every time something doesn't go our way, every time a loved one dies, every time a little cross or a big cross comes our way, we poke the needle back up gently. Dear Lord, this is for You. Help me to help You to make the picture that You want. So my good people, no matter how dark things become, no matter how unlovable life may become, no matter how blind we may ourselves become, let us hang on to the hand of God and know that even if He lets us fall off the edge of the cliff, He'll be down there at the bottom to catch us and put us back on our feet. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.